The Vermont Conversation with David Goodman is brought to you by Vermont Businesses for Social Responsibility and by Vermont Student Assistance Corporation, Green Mountain Power, Concept 2, Norwich Solar Technologies, The Alchemist Brewery, Let's Grow Kids, UVM Medical Center, and nearly 700 business members of Vermont Businesses for Social Responsibility who believe that sustainable business practices value people, planet, and profit. Well, welcome back to the Vermont Conversation. We're spending the hour this week talking about volunteering during the COVID pandemic, what people are doing, what people can do, and just some of the grassroots efforts going around here in northern and central Vermont. In this half hour, we have three guests to talk about different dimensions of the volunteer operation that has been deployed. We have Chef Joey Buttendorf. She is the senior chef instructor for the Community Kitchen Academy at Capstone Community Action. Jessica Tompkins is with Mad River Valley Emergency Response. And Drew McNaughton is a Marshfield resident and a high school teacher who launched a volunteer network to serve the Marshfield-Plainfield community during this time. I want to welcome you all to Vermont Conversation, and let's start with Chef Joey. Chef
hi,
Joey, yes, hi. Talk about what the Community Kitchen Academy is and normally and what it's doing right now.
So normally, my role is to help adult students learn basic culinary skills and kitchen atmosphere skills, essentially life skills, to give themselves a better quality of life and get a job out in society and have interpersonal skills and critical thinking skills and all those things that they need to be successful doing that. Normally, that's what I do, and I teach three sessions a year. Usually a March session, a July session, and a November session. I started this March session on the 9th, and I still have enrolled them. They're working online right now. But we have 14 students, which were fantastic. And 4 days later, COVID-19 came in, and now we switched gears, and we're feeding the homeless people of Central Vermont every day. Myself, my teaching assistant, and the food shelf next door. So we're preparing about 1,600 meals a week, breakfast and dinner, for Central Vermont homeless who are being housed in hotels right now.
1,600 meals a week.
Yeah.
And are some of the students who you were training part of the cooking team?
Actually, they aren't because of the physical distancing. I like to say that rather than social distancing. It's less isolating. But the physical distancing is keeping me and my teaching assistant here, and we have one helper to keep it safe in the kitchen. So the students actually are home, and they're still enrolled in my program. And this program is a food bank and Capstone Collaborative, Vermont Food Bank and Capstone Collaborative. But they're home enrolled and doing their work online, and they're doing fantastic.
So what is the challenge of preparing 1,600 meals a week? And I also want to know, has that number changed? Has it gone up, down?
It's gone up since the 13th, actually since the 17th of March. We went from doing about 90 meals a day. Well, it's actually 180 because we're doing breakfast and dinner, but it's about 90 people then. Now we're up to about 220.
So you're more than doubled your output.
Yeah.
Does that reflect the growing number of homeless people in the area?
Well, I want to say that is a number of them. There is a task force, Liz Scharf, my direct support, and amongst other people, Allison Levin from Community Harvest and Tony Grout also. There's a task force that's keeping a tally of these people, but that's not all of them for sure. Some people don't want to go to housing. Some people we haven't found yet, you know. But the motels, can house about 230, I think, total in this area. So we can go up about 10 more. I'm focused strictly on the homeless in the motels. We have enough ministries, and we have the Salvation Army. We have Morris Block Deli. We have Gusto's. They're also picking up some meals, like the lunches and the weekends. And they're also feeding people that, you know, may not be housed but are just walking up to the church and needing meals. Seniors are part of what the ministry is doing as well. So there's a lot of collaboration here going on.
So you mentioned some of the local restaurants, Gusto's and others. I mean, we're used to the Salvation Army doing this kind of thing. We're not used to hearing the local bar being part of the feeding operation.
Yeah,
talk about how that's working.
Well, it's interesting. You know, we did an assessment. I did an assessment really quick, a 5-minute assessment in my head of how much food I thought I could handle per day with the staff that I have and per week. And so really the lunch piece was the piece where we needed people to help. And Gusto's stepped up and they're doing lunches for these homeless on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And there's a whole other section of this with volunteers that are being organized, picking up the meals and delivering them to the hotels. And we're all, you know, they have safety kits and all kinds of things to stay healthy and safe while they're doing it. So Gusto's picked up Tuesdays and Thursdays. Salvation Army does Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Enough Ministries does the 3 meals a day on the weekends, Fridays and Sundays. And then Morris Block Deli, Stefano Coppola, the owner, was one of my students when I was an instructor at NECI. So I reined him in to do the sandwiches on Saturdays to help lighten the load off of us a little bit. So it's a really great community effort. I also have 2 former NECI chefs, Adrian Westrup and Dan Tabor, who are helping with the baked goods in the morning for the breakfast. So, you know, it's a real, real community effort here, David.
Now, if there are people in the community who are listening or know of people who either, you know, who might have some restaurant skills or experience, how can they contribute?
Well, with the physical distancing, that's very difficult. But they can definitely help with volunteer drop-off. They can get a hold of Bob also at Meals on Wheels here in Barrie or any Meals on Wheels. I know that they're looking for some help, probably volunteering, helping prepare meals, prep food, and delivering meals. If they would like, if anybody needs guidance, support, or wants to help, we do have a hotline here at Capstone that people can call. But the best way to...
What is that hotline number?
802-636-2025, and that's for individual support and guidance or any questions people may have. That hotline, again, is 802-636-2025, and it's open from 8 a.m. till 10 p.m. For volunteer-related inquiries, people can definitely contact Allison Levin at Community Harvest, and there's also an email for that, and it's allison.levin@wnocrrcc.org.
Okay.
And then any community relations stuff, you can also inquire through communityrelations@wnocrrcc.org. I know it's long. But, yeah, I mean, it's really seemed to have come together quite quickly. As fast as we could pull it together, we did. And we started really once my students were out of the kitchen on the 13th, we started feeding people right away on that Monday after.
Well, let's move around the community here and turn to Jessica Tompkins with Mad River Valley Emergency Response. Jessica, welcome to the Vermont Conversation.
Thank you, David. Thanks for having me.
Now, I understand that you are actually a nurse at the UVA Medical Center. Is there a connection between being a healthcare provider and doing emergency response?
I think so. I think I was an emergency room trained nurse and also an ENT in the past. And I think you just want to prep and plan and prepare for the worst, as we say. And so I think that's what kind of initiated my wanting to be involved in this.
So talk about what's going on in the Mad River Valley. What is Mad River Valley Emergency Response doing or preparing to do?
So there's 2 parts. There's the Mad River Valley Emergency Response, and then there's also the Mad River Volunteer Response. And I've been leading the volunteer response with a bunch of amazing people. It really does take a valley We have organized, we first created the, a survey of who people who wanted to volunteer, and then we created a survey for people who had needs. And just like your other guests, I mean, we put out for, we asked if people needed tech support, delivery of groceries, pharmaceuticals, pet care, emotional support, whether it be mental health crises, going to like Hannah's house, or just I need someone to talk to. We like through a warm line. We've created a website, and we have a point person who will, if you don't have a computer, you are welcome to call her, and she will either set you up as a volunteer or put you in the maybe you have needs due to isolation, quarantine, or, you know, just can't get around. We're also working with our health center, our local ambulance services. We have people in the Valley who are making masks. It's kind of masks for all. We have Freddie Graves and Anne-Marie Freire who are just out there trying to help neighbors protect neighbors. We are also doing, we've created a secondary food system in a three-phase situation. We have offered to support and working with that Meals on Wheels and the food shelf, and they are doing, I mean, they're just so resilient and doing what they're doing, but we're there for backup. And then if need be, if, you know, the surge comes and we need it, then we have a secondary food drive going. We have restaurants that are freezing meals. I think there are probably like 6 or 7 of the restaurants that are doing that now. And we'll be able to, like, you know, back everybody up.
Are your services already being used, or are you kind of just in preparation mode?
So it's a combination. Like, I think we just got to the point where we are just ready to roll it. Like, we've rolled it out. You know, we've got, there's a few more things in the works, but we are ready for if people need us, and we are servicing or offering our services or utilizing, I should say, but not to the extent that we're prepared for. I think it's just as we feel in the hospital, we're all just waiting.
Yeah. Let's turn to Drew McNaughton. He's a Marshfield resident, also a teacher at Montpelier Middle and High School, and he launched a volunteer network on March 16th in an effort to connect community members with those in need during the COVID-19 pandemic. Drew, welcome to the Vermont Conversation.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So I'm curious what you are seeing. I gather you're also kind of more in this preparation mode. But what are you seeing has been the effect on your community of just even setting up these networks?
Well, I know that for most people, this whole pandemic has caused tons of anxiety and just uncertainty. And I think that some people respond to that differently, and I think that a lot of people in Vermont, in a really cool way, respond to it by wanting to help and volunteer, give themselves something to do, some purpose to their days when they're out of work or working from home. So when I set up the sign up for volunteers, the feedback was pretty immediate, and for a small community like this, having 40 people on a list, 45 people on the list is pretty good. And what I know is happening is just monumental efforts happening on an individual level outside of this volunteer network list, just neighbors helping neighbors every time someone goes to the grocery store asking their neighbor if they need something. So that happens outside of the purview of any of this delivery request and volunteer system. So it's just, it was simple. I just created a Google form that populates a spreadsheet that the volunteer spreadsheet is public for anyone to view, so that if someone has a request but they don't want to fill out the form, they can just contact that person directly. The delivery requests are private, and those are only viewable by the volunteer network, and they can respond to the delivery requests that they feel most capable of responding to. And I didn't go as far as to offer services outside of the purview of just going to town and getting items, because I felt like just as a citizen, like, it's not really my role to offer mental health services to people, but there's already been several examples of these volunteers connecting people to those services through Capstone, which is an incredible resource right now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been good to see. And there's some of these volunteers are just going so above and beyond. It's incredible. So that's just been really nice to see and a good way to contribute. I've had several of them came out to help put signage up at Goddard for that site because that's going to be a COVID positive site for people who need services and just going and walking the perimeter and setting that site up. These volunteers have just stepped up incredibly. But based on my knowledge of my community, that's par for the course. I wouldn't expect less than that. So.
And let me just ask the others to mute their phones when they're not speaking, because it sounds like it's a little noisy in the background there. Drew, you also are a teacher at Montpelier High School, so you're juggling some things here. I'm wondering what you see has been the effect on your students in middle school and high school of, now having to be staying at home.
Right. Well, teacher is kind of a different category. I run experiential ed programs, so lots more hands-on learning. I do, programs like woodshop, cooking, art, mountain biking, rock climbing, stuff like that. So those are all really hard things to do remotely. I do work directly with some teachers in classroom, and I've seen students on a variety of responses, have a variety of responses emotionally and academically to this event. I think that we have no way of knowing what's going on in people's homes. So right now, teachers are there supporting students, offering them opportunities for education, and holding a level of expectation that is really just flexible based on the capacity that families have at home. Not every student's going to have good internet. Not every student's going to have access to a device. Not every student's going to have what they need to be academically engaged online right now and or emotionally be able to engage. So if there's not, like right now, grading isn't a thing that's happening, hopefully anywhere in the nation. And because if you're grading right now, what people have said is that you're just basically grading privilege. You're just assessing privilege, and that's not an assessment that's fair or just. And so for me, like I reached out to my woodshop kids, and I'm putting together little magnetic knife board kits for them to assemble and sand at home, and I'll be delivering that to their houses. I'm trying to set up an online cooking club for students with the cooking instructor who I work with, Haley Cohn from Satori Foods, so that she can offer instructional lessons and challenges to students, and students can upload their own recipes. So engaging in that way has been really positive. And, it's the most important thing is to see students' faces.
Are there opportunities for students to volunteer as well?
I've seen, speaking to someone with Montpelier Mutual Aid, the Front Porch Farm posts they were describing were so inspirational, and I can imagine the students who are offering it, but there were kids, 14-year-old kids, posting on Front Porch Farm, like, I have a bike, and I can get your groceries for you, I'm really fast, and one kid said, I don't have a bike, but I can run really fast, and I have a backpack that can hold a lot of stuff. So kids are reaching out to volunteer, and I don't think as an educator my role would be appropriate to suggest that students step out and interact with the public at this time when there's a stay-at-home order. But I do think there's ways that every person in the state can be helping someone in their community. And I'm positive that there are parents out there finding ways for the kids to safely assist their neighbors.
Do you feel like this has had an impact on your communities? Is there any sort of a silver lining to all this that you can see from the community level?
I've just seen people cracking open in a positive way and empathy pouring out. And every single interaction ends with, a caring gesture of some sort. And I think that's really, the best of us.
Chef Joey from Capstone, from the Community mm-hmm. Kitchen Academy, what's this been like for you? This is a real change in roles. You're not normally providing mass feeding, but that's your job now.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think I was an industry chef for years before teaching at NECI, and I love cooking, so I always have my hands in a pot, so to speak. So, yeah, it is a massive adjustment, I think, to your, you know, schedule, but once you get into it after a day or two, you're producing. That's what you're doing. So if I can give you an example, today I came in and it was, I don't know, I was on the phone a few times this morning before 9 o'clock because of things going on in our world, of course. But I walked into the kitchen and I started with turkeys in the oven and water boiling for pasta. So today I've made actually, you know, 20 pounds of mac and cheese, 40 pounds of mac and cheese, homemade from scratch, which is wonderful. I'm making a roasted corn and poblano soup right now. I have 4, 6, 8 turkeys in the oven. I made stuffing for that. We did lunch with burritos and some pulled beef burritos and spicy cheese for us, and we're also making meals out of those. So we eat whatever they're eating as well for lunch. But I did that all within a couple hours. So if you have good time management and cooking skill, you can get a lot done in a very short period of time.
How does it feel to be contributing to this crisis response?
Fantastic. I don't think chefs don't like to sit still, obviously. It's not in our nature. Chefs, teachers, cooks of any kind. We don't want to sit still. So the thought, I live in Montgomery. I drive down about an hour and 15 minutes right now every day. But, you know, I did not want to not be a part of it. I didn't want to contribute to the issue either. At first, I think we all have to process, you know, are we going to contaminate anybody else? Are we going to be safe with this? How do we do this? But it seems to have worked out, and I'm absolutely thrilled to be a part of the Capstone team and being able to help homeless around Central Vermont as much as I can, you know, and keep people employed at the same time as much as possible.
Monique Priestley, what is your message for your neighbors? Oh, I'm sorry, not Monique. Jessica Tompkins from Mad River Valley Emergency Response.
My message to my neighbors? I think what we have been saying is this too shall pass. And, you know, the Mad River Valley is an amazing place. There's such resiliency, as we saw through Irene. So it's just kind of be strong.
And what is the website that people can reach out if they want to get involved in the Valley in this effort?
So let me get, could I give you a phone number instead? And then this contact person would direct people to that, because we're just making a couple changes today. So I don't want to give out wrong information.
Okay. Drew McNaughton, any final thought, a message to your community?
I think just stay strong. Keep helping each other, keep loving each other, and we're going to come out on the other side strong.
Okay, well, I want to thank all three of you for joining us and sharing those messages this week on the Vermont Conversation. Chef Joey Buttendorf from the Community Kitchen Academy at Capstone Community Action, Jessica Tompkins from Mad River Valley Emergency Response, and Drew McNaughton with the Marshfield Mutual Aid effort. Thanks, all three of you.
Thank you, David.
And that does it for this week's Vermont Conversation. You can hear this and all shows at VermontConversation.com any time of day or night. And we'll be back next Wednesday at 1 o'clock here on WDEV with another Vermont Conversation. I'm David Goodman. Thanks so much for listening.
The Vermont Conversation with David Goodman. This special feature from Vermont Businesses for Social Responsibility is underwritten in part by Vermont Student Assistance Corporation. VSAC helps students of all ages save, plan, and pay for college and career training with education and career planning services, need-based grants, scholarships, low-cost education loans, and Vermont's official 529 college savings plan. Norwich Solar Technologies, providing complete clean energy services to Vermont schools, towns, nonprofits, and businesses. Green Mountain Power, delivering clean, cost-effective, and highly reliable power to customers and offering cutting-edge products and services to reduce costs and carbon. The Alchemist Brewery of Waterbury and Stowe, proud B Corp, using the power of business to support a clean environment and economic opportunity for all. UVM Medical Center, Burlington, Vermont, the heart and science of medicine. Let's Grow Kids, a statewide campaign about the need for more high-quality, affordable childcare in Vermont to better support our children, families, communities, and economy. Concept 2, designers and manufacturers of Concept 2 rowing oars, indoor rower, ski erg, and bike erg, and proud to support nonprofit groups such as the Green Mountain Club. And nearly 700 business members of Vermont Businesses for Social Responsibility who believe that sustainable business practices value people, planet, and profit.